All right, let's get on with our word here. So, Father, we just thank you for the day that we have. We thank you for the ability to be able to communicate and to share and to honor you in the things that we do. As we take your word, Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit can teach us and to help us to learn a little bit more of what God wants of us in our relationship with him and what he's willing to do for us to be able to have that relationship. We appreciate your word. We appreciate this place here. We appreciate the gifts that continue to come from you. And this we pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. So our message today is going to be called, I Am the Resurrection. And it's actually Jesus says these very words in the book of John. And we're going to be looking at John 11. Actually, the story is all about in John 11. So if you want to turn to your scripture verses there, you can. What I'm going to do is ad-lib a little bit of the story. Then we're going to be looking at some scripture verses in between that's in John 11 and a couple that are a little bit outside of that. But just to make the point, what's kind of neat is these few weeks before Easter, I want to concentrate on the Easter theme. And I just felt led that we're going to be taking at this point here on into the crucifixion time. But we need to prepare our hearts, just as we have Advent, we prepare for the Christmas season, not just for the Christmas trees and the presents, but for the actual time where we realize that Christ was born, all for the ability to be able to spread the word in terms of who the Father is, but really more closely is like he was to die on the cross. He came to die for us. And so it's a huge, huge thing, this Easter season. It's not just another holiday. It is a time of reflection in terms of what God's love for us. So we're going to be looking at this here where he says, I am the resurrection. This whole chapter is about Lazarus. Lazarus is a very close friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha are the sisters of Lazarus. And Lazarus gets sick. And when he gets sick, word is sent out to Jesus. And Jesus gets that word and kind of sits on it. He doesn't really go anywhere. Even for a couple days, he just stays put. And it doesn't seem typical, for Jesus, because anybody that came and asked for healing, he always offered that. He never said, excuse me, I got lunch right now, this is my break, and you come back in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or whatever. That wasn't Jesus. Or like, the 5 o'clock, factory bell went off and everybody stops their work, they all exit and everything like that, and they go home and they do their sort of thing. Jesus wasn't that way. I mean, I think Jesus was exhausted day after day after day dealing with people and dealing with the disciples and dealing with the leaders of the Israelite nation. And he did all of this stuff here. He tells he gets word that Lazarus is sick. And he knows, obviously Jesus knows exactly what's happening here. And he's taken some time to be with his disciples, and I'm sure he's in those 2 days, he's preparing them, whatever is being done in those 2 days. I don't think Jesus was one just to sit and, say, oh, it's a sunny day, let's, work on our tan, for the day, and then the next day do the same thing again. I think Jesus was always out there working. Well, we get to this point here where Jesus says, we're going to go see Lazarus. And his disciples are like, are you crazy? And the reason they say that is because, Lazarus, it's over said over here in John 11:8, he says, but Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going to go back? Now, think about this here. Jesus and all of his miracle dwellings and stuff like that. Jesus and the ability to be able to, in this case over here, they were going to stone him. He got out of that. But even the disciples are so protective of Jesus that they don't want him to get hurt. In fact, they want him to be their king, their leader. and to free the Jews from the bondage of the Roman Empire. And it's really, that's their kind of selfish thing. In a way, that what they want is, they want Jesus now. And they want to hold on to him. They don't want him to go to any area where he might be in, you know, put in pain or in restriction of what might be there. So, what was the whole deal about Jesus possibly getting stoned? Well, if you go back in the book of John, chapter 10, it speaks about that. It was during the time of the Feast of the Dedication. Really, it isn't listed in the Bible, in the Old Testament, because the Feast of Dedication really is the same thing as what we call Hanukkah today. And what that basically is there was a time after all the Old Testament was written and all the prophets had their prophecies written down, that the church, it was a 400-year period where God was silent with the Jewish people. And in that 400-year period, there's a group of people called the Maccabees. They tried to fight against the Romans and for some of the leaders in that area because they were desecrating the Jewish religion. They didn't allow them to worship. There's a lot of deaths, a lot of revolts, a lot of turmoil and stuff. Well, the Maccabees were able to secure the temple, and it was defaced, really. It was, one of the kings there worshiped pigs in the temple and everything, and it was just they did that on purpose in order to, you know, just belittle the Jewish people. Well, they freed the temple, they cleansed the temple of all of that, they built a new altar, and the idea is there that this Hanukkah is a dedication to the cleaned temple. That's what Hanukkah is all about, and it happens during the time when that happened, which was in the winter time. I think it's sometime in the beginning of December when Hanukkah goes, and it goes about a week. Most of the festivities with the Jewish culture go a week, so weddings go a week, funerals go a week, and stuff like that. And we look at this, and Jesus was at the festival of dedication, and he happened to say these words here, because you look at this. And in John 10:31-33, it says, again, the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And this is really key, right? And why the Jewish leaders have a problem with Jesus. He says, we're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. And they asked in the beginning of chapter 10, when Jesus came to the festival of dedication, just tell us plainly, Jesus, are you God? Just, that's what we want to know. And Jesus says, I've been telling you that over and over and over. And even if that doesn't get you, don't the miracles mean anything to you? So then when they finally get it, so, you know, did the Jews have a misunderstanding of Jesus was saying that he was God? No, it's very clearly stated right here. They knew that he was claiming to be God. Just as simple as that. And it's because of that that they wanted to stone him, because they figured that was a blasphemous thing. The Messiah that was to come was to be a man, not God. And they knew that sort of thing. It was all set up like that and ready to go. And they wanted to just be told plainly. So what did the disciples do when Jesus says, we're going to go back to see Lazarus, and we're going to go back to that area where these people here are? And let's look at in John 11:16, and Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Go ahead, we're just ending our life right now. We'll go with him. We're dedicated to him, and we'll die, just like he's going to die. And I could just kind of see it almost as a bit of a mockery in a way, but I also see it as in the sense that maybe he's saying is, you know, if Jesus is going to die, then I'm willing to die with him. And it's hard to read, you know, an individual on this. with here. But they didn't want Jesus to go, and they didn't want him to go alone. But what they wanted to do was to protect him in some way. Maybe they thought by their presence that they could stop, you know, a potential stoning that was going to be coming during this way here. And it's important to be able to know that we've got that. And then Scripture starts talking about Lazarus. And Jesus says, yep, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And the disciples are like, yeah, it's a good thing, because if he's sleeping, then he's going to get better. And that's just what we want. And then Jesus is like, no. Okay, a lot of times when they talk about an individual sleeping, it means they died. All right, and it's like he's completely died. And Jesus says this funny thing. He says, I'm glad that we are here, not there, because I need you to believe. And it was kind of funny in that comment that Jesus is saying that to his disciples who are willing to go and die with him. What do you got?
Was Thomas doubting Thomas?
This is the doubting Thomas. Thomas always gets a bad name for that. You know, unless I see those marks in his hands and put my fingers, you know, in his side, then, you know, I don't believe that is Jesus. But when Jesus did come, during that time after the resurrection, you know, all Thomas could do is just kneel before him and worship and say, Lord. It is the same Thomas that's in that area and speaking about that. But we're looking at this, and he says, which is kind of neat, in this little section right here, we're going to look at, I think it's going to go, there we go. In John 11, 4 through 7, he says, when he heard this, Jesus said that the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And when he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea, right? In this area, it was set up in the idea that, why are we going back? Well, this is important right here. Because it says, this sickness will not end in death. Well, we've already read ahead. We know that Lazarus dies. And we look at that aspect over there, and he says, no, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So I'm telling you right now, things happen in life. Things happen to, in this case, Lazarus and his family. And it seems like it's such a terrible thing. Lazarus getting sick and dying. He probably had so much to live for. And it sounds like he was a good guy. There's lots of people that are hanging around during the time of mourning. But you know, God has plans and is using some of the things that happen in life. Not so much to make your life better, but to glorify God. And then even the Son would be glorified through that. By the glorifying of the Father, the Son is glorified. And Jesus says, you know, I'm in the Father, as the Father is in me. And there's this unique bond between the Father and the Son. That when one is glorified, the other is glorified. And we're looking at this, and the whole point of Lazarus dying is that God would be glorified. So is it a bad thing then that Lazarus died? Well, yeah. I mean, we're still more. We lost. I mean, Martha and Mary lost a brother, a very close brother. It sounds like they're a very tight-knit family and everything. Martha finally comes out to where Jesus was, and he was outside the city area of Bethany. And she meets Jesus before he gets to the village. She knows that he's coming and everything. And her response to Jesus was, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. Now, why would she say that sort of thing? Does anybody know?
Because she believed she was.
Yeah, and that he would have placed his hand on Lazarus, and that sickness would have been removed from him, and he would be just as normal as most of us, you and I, right now, here today. And I know that she was looking at doing that. And it's pretty cool. But in John 11, 23 through 27, it says here that... let me get that. See if I get this little thing. Here we go. I'm going to go back and then back up again. In John 11, 23 through 27 says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And her concept, I really appreciate Martha's concept with this. And Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Right, so Jesus had talked about to the disciples and to those followers what is to come. She seems to get this connection that there is an afterlife. And Lazarus will rise again. Because it is really what most of the Jews believed. But then Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now those are important words that come out. I am the resurrection. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asks, do you believe this? And her response is an awesome response. Yes, Lord, she replies, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And she gets it. Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that's been prophesied that was going to take the governments on his shoulder, and he was going to bring peace, and he's going to bring salvation. He's going to bring all these things. Martha is the first to meet up with Jesus. Now, do you remember the story about Mary and Martha, where the time where Jesus comes into the house? Martha's out, the one that's all busy working and cluttering, getting the meal ready. And Mary's just sitting there, listening to the words of Jesus. Martha's all upset. And Mary's just like, I just need to spend time with Jesus. And here, this is kind of a reversal. Martha is the first to be with Jesus and the first to be able to speak with him. I just thought that was kind of neat. Now the story. Maybe she's the oldest, and that she feels like that's her position where she should be. But the response that she has is, if you had just been there. Now remember, Jesus doesn't need to be right in the house. He can declare anything to be done from any place. So can he declare healings? If he was in Watertown, might happen here in Harrisville? Of course. Right? Space is not a thing. What if he's with the Father in heaven? Could he do the healings here now? Of course he could. Yeah, right? In accordance with his will. So he's not restricted by the physical dealing with there. But then Mary comes. She comes into the picture. She gets word from Martha that Jesus is here, and then she leaves. And she has a group of people that have been with her during the mourning process, and they follow her, thinking that she's going to go to the tomb, but she ends up being with Jesus, and Jesus being there as well. And so what's kind of neat with this is that we get this section about this resurrection and everything. And what is the resurrection to the Jews? And I just want to kind of speak a little bit about that. So we're going to go back in the Old Testament here. And if we go into Isaiah 26:19, it references some resurrection stuff. He says, but your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. And I think that's, you know, we look at that sort of aspect and realize that this is some of the Old Testament stuff of what the Jews would believe, that there's going to come a time that there will be a resurrection of the dead. And we can go to Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And this is talking about the end, the last days, the end times. He says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others shame and everlasting contempt. The dead will rise someday. And so, like, when Mary and Martha were talking with Jesus, they understood that concept. How is it then that even some of the leaders had a hard time accepting that? Because in Acts 23:8, it says here that the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. These are all Jews. And yet, within the Jewish community, there's different Jewish sects that believe differently. And in a way, there's division between the Jews. A division whether Jesus could really be the Messiah or not. Division. Who the Messiah is to be. Division of what the Messiah was to do. In all of this. And it's like there's some misunderstanding even behind the leaders of the Israelite people that were there. So we get to this section over here where Mary had followed, and she says to Jesus, you know, if he'd only been there, then he would never have died, right? In John 11:39-40, Jesus gets to the place where the tomb is, and this is a place where all the other people were following, the ones that came with Mary. There's probably prominent people that were there with him. I think Lazarus was considered a wealthy individual, and because of that, he probably had wealthy friends, and those friends were there, you know, to be there during the morning time. And Jesus, they were the ones that said, come to the tomb and see for yourself that Lazarus is there. Because their thoughts are, well, what are you going to do about it? And they want to be able to see the miracle that's there. So Jesus says to them, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Now this is really what we're looking for. With that whole aspect, the glory of God is what we want to be able to see. Well, guess what? They open that tomb up, and then very quickly, in verses 41 through 43, it says, so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So the purpose of the miracle, the purpose of Jesus coming to Bethany, the purpose of the disciples struggling that Jesus might even be stoned, the purpose of Martha and Mary coming to Jesus saying, if you had just been here, Jesus is saying out loud that it's for those to be able to see and give glory to God. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Oops. Now, we know that Lazarus came out. And he got all these hangings of the wrappings that go around from the burial stuff that they put on him and all that. And I just can't imagine what he'd be like thinking. He's like coming out, he's got this tomb, and we think of him like a mummy coming out like this. I don't think he was, though. I think he was coming out just like, what happened? What's going on? You know, in the sense that Maybe he knows, I don't know. It doesn't really say much about that or aspect over there. But the end result of Lazarus walking out of that tomb was that many of those people that came with Mary and Martha to the tomb believed who Jesus was. Now, there were some that didn't. Some of those people went to the Pharisees and were telling, you know, like snitches and stuff like that. They're saying, oh, this is what Jesus did. You know, he's in this area over here because you're looking for a place to kill him and everything. But the whole thing was that when that news was brought to those leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the chief priest, Caiaphas, he says this very thing. That it's, and in a way it was a prophesying word that he was saying, that it's better that one man dies for the benefit of the nation of Israel than for the whole nation to go down. I don't think he really understood that it's a true prophecy that he was saying, because Jesus did die so that the sins would be forgiven and they would not die and go to hell. But there's a future thing that was being set up on here. And as we look at this story, Lazarus comes back to life. But Lazarus eventually dies physically again. Lazarus is not resurrected. Lazarus is just brought back to life. Jesus is the first to be resurrected. And that resurrection is forever. When Jesus brought, you know, the girl back to life, and when, you know, and there was others that were sick at the point of death and stuff like that, he just brought them back to life that they may know who Jesus is. And in that act, by believing who Jesus is, that glorifies God. That's the very act that glorifies God. Not the bringing of Lazarus back to life. It's that people were putting their hearts to God. Giving those hearts. Loretta.
The two verses of all these you're reading is standing out to me. Jesus, wrought in his spirit, was troubled. When they were crying because he died. And then again, in verse 38, Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. How much we must make him groan.
Yeah.
When we don't believe. Speaking to Loretta here. But boy, those two, it was, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And then he said, you know, like, didn't I say? Would believe,
you
would see the glory.
Yeah. Amen. And that's that, yeah. And it is. And I think my scripture says that Jesus wept and he mourned with Martha and Mary. It was unbelievable. When we get this whole story, when we start looking at, you know, what is it that glorifies God? Believing in him is what glorifies him. Yeah, what do you got?
Isn't it when Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first? It said in the Bible he'll come from the clouds.
Yeah, he will. Yep.
Yeah. I told somebody one time, if somebody says he's here, he's going to come from the clouds.
He says that he'll come back the way he left. Yeah. And it is interesting too. Remember when Christ died on the cross? There were some things that happened. There was an earthquake. The sun was blotted out for like 3 hours. Was it 3 hours or so? And then there were those that raised from the dead right at that moment. And it's like, that should be a sign enough to believe and give glory to God for all that they've done and everything. And when Jesus is saying that I am the resurrection, that means that the resurrection comes through him. That's the only way that we can be resurrected. You know, we read that scripture that if your name is written in the book, then you will be raised to life eternal with God. Look at this here in 1 Peter, my last verse, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of your of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You cannot pay your way to heaven. You cannot gift your way to heaven. You cannot get to heaven any other way than through Jesus. And it's really, you've got to be clear about that sort of thing. Because he paid the price, and it had nothing to do with money, but he paid with his own blood. He said he was chosen before the creation of the world. This was before man was even created, even before sin came into this earth. And he was chosen all before that, right? But was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. You believing in the very works that Jesus has done glorifies God. Now, I don't know about you, but if you want to please God, all right, just believe with your whole heart, with everything that you have, regardless of the things that are happening around in your life. Regardless of whether you're getting a penny a day or whether you get a lump sum of $100. But it's that continued relationship with God that glorifies Him every day.
You have to have it every day.
You do. And it's like, just imagine that those believers every day worshiping Jesus, living for Him, glorifying Him. And then, you know, the simple things that we're doing His will. And, you know, we're praying for people, or we're going to visit people in the jail, or, you know, we just, like Doran was saying, you know, let's give a gift, you know, for someone that's been through, you know, a fire. And the idea is like, yeah, that's nice. But that's an after effect from having that relationship with God. Right? That's just a result of loving God and to live for Him. Because He is the resurrection. Nobody can be resurrected unless it's through Him. And Jesus says, is that, I am the resurrection. And here in this scripture here, it talks about, it says, God who raised him from the dead. Well, what does that mean? If God raised him from the dead, but Jesus is the resurrection, they're both God. They are one. You know, we do things as kids sometimes to please mom and dad. You know, we go out there, we'll take the trash out, something like that, without being asked. The one time in our life that we do that, and then we just stand there really proud, and, you know, and it's like just waiting for mom to notice, you know, it's like we did that sort of thing. It's kind of like that with God. It's like, you know, we want to be noticed and stuff like that. But really the only thing, I won't say the only thing, but, you know, a thing that makes God look is when you put your trust and faith in Him. He notices that. That never goes without being noticed. That's powerful to know. So this Easter season, as we're preparing for that sort of thing, I want you to think about your faith. I want you to think about your relationship with Jesus. Is it something that we just have in the back of our pocket, we pull out whenever we, you know, pull that card out, we get in trouble or whatever, and then we say, hey, Jesus, you know, you said call nine, you know, this 1-800 number, you know, when I'm in trouble. Yeah. Or is it number one on speed dial, you know, where, you know, you want to feel like talking to him, you kind of do that. Or is he just in your presence all the time with where you're at? I mean, there's all different types of levels and stuff like that. I'm not saying one's right or wrong. But the idea is, like, where is your relationship with Jesus? And as we go through this Easter season, we're going to start walking through some of the things that Jesus did before the crucifixion. What He was willing to do so that we can have that one-to-one relationship with God. We don't need to go through a prophet. We don't need to go through a priest. We can speak to him just as I'm speaking to you. And you can hold on to him just as we give little hugs and stuff like here and there. You can hold on to his hand. He'll guide you. All that stuff is just phenomenal to be able to do that. Remember, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is God. And if you want to glorify God, what do you have to do?
Believe.
Hey, you got it. This is like passing the test with a 100. It's good stuff. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we have where we can just be reminded the simplicity of the gospel. Yeah, it's deep. I get that. And there's a lot to it. But what God asks of us, is to believe. Father, as we've got Thomas in the picture here, as a doubting Thomas and stuff, help us in our doubt, Lord, to believe wholeheartedly and to live for you 100%, even when sometimes those around us are not. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Everybody gets to say, Amen. All right, let's close up with our last song here.